Vraiment. We're on the Chesam base. We are trying to work out now. We're up to the fourth teretz. We'll see there's still some more to come. This is a hard sugya, very good geshmaka sugya. We are on our fourth explanation now. What exactly is the machlokes between Reb Meir and the Chachamim in the Mishnah? Why does one say Reb Meir says you need three dayanim for Motzi Shem Ra, the Chachamim you need 23? We've had three tirutzim so far, or not three tirutzim, three explanations. Explanation number one, it's a discussion about whether you're concerned for la'az. Explanation number two, with regard to kavod shel harishonim. Explanation number three, we're talking about a very specific case in which they gave hasra for misa, but they didn't say which misa. We're now up to the fourth answer, Rav Papa Omar. Fifth bottom line, we began this yesterday. Rav Papa Omar hocha beisha chaveiro askinon. We are dealing with a woman who is classified as an isha chaveiro. She's a knowledgeable woman, and there is a machlokes. Somebody who is knowledgeable, do they need to have hasra at all? The komiflegi and they, that's Rav Meir and the Chachamim, are arguing the plukta to Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda with the same machlokes that Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda has v'rabbanan de Tanya, because we have a braisa that says as follows: Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda oimer chover ein tzarich hasra. The famous opinion of Rabbi Yosi bar Yehuda, he says a chover, if he's a knowledgeable person, and there is, by the way, qualifications, how do we define somebody who's knowledgeable? We're not going to get involved in that at the moment. But if it's somebody who's classified as a chover, then he doesn't need hasra at all. Why not? Lefi, sheloi nitno hasra elo. The only reason hasra was ever required is lahavchin, to be able to discern bein shogeg lemezid. There is always the concern if you don't give hasra, then maybe the person will say, I didn't realize I was a shogeg. Once you give him hasra, obviously that excuse is no longer valid. But if it's somebody who could never claim that I never knew because he was a chover, then he doesn't need hasra. So too, not only a man who's a chover, but also a woman who is a chaveira. So therefore, if this particular woman did not get hasra, and then she's now being accused of committing znus, will she be put to death or she will not be put to death? The answer is, it depends on whether you hold that a chaver or a chavera needs hasra. If you hold that they don't need hasra, then the fact that she never received it is not a problem. And if you hold that even a chaver does need hasra, well then the fact that she didn't get hasra is a problem. Says Rashi, Rav Papa. Says Rashi, Rav Papa, k'da'abaya nami sfirale. Essentially, Rav Papa, this is the fourth explanation, holds like Abaya, who told us the third explanation, in other words, yes, the choshishin lelaz, yes, v'lichvoidon shel rishonim, but that's not the discussion. V'hocher over here, da'omer Rabbi Meir begimel, why did Rabbi Meir say that you only require three dayonim, if you tell me that everybody is concerned for Laz? Everybody has to be worried that maybe this case will morph into a Dine Nefoshoy, so everybody should require 23. Why is it that Reb Meir says that you only need three? The answer is we're talking about a very specific scenario. That's what Rashi means, by the way, that Rav Papa essentially agrees to Abaya. Just like Abaya made an Akimta. He didn't say this is a general machlokes. He made an akimta, which means he made the Mishnah to be talking about a very specific scenario. What was Abaya's very specific scenario? Where you gave hasra about death, but you didn't say which death. Rav Papa, in similar vein, says, I'm also designing a scenario similar to yours. I'm actually going to suggest that we're talking about that no hasra was given whatsoever. But it's a machlokes, whether that's a problem or not. Why not, says Rashi. Kagoin shehevi i eidim imoy. The husband brought eidim together with him right from the outset, bitchilas hazmonosoi ledin, as soon as he called the judgment. Therefore, I don't have to be choshesh for laz. I don't have to be concerned that maybe other Aidim will come, because here they are. However, Vamru, and they, that means the Aidim, claim Shaloi Hisru Baal. They claim that they never gave any warning to this woman. Why did they not give Asra? Lefi Sheho Isha Chaveirohi, because she is a Chaveiro, she's a knowledgeable woman. And they claim, therefore, Veloi Hutzrachnu, there was no Tzairach, there's no necessity, Lahasra is bar to give a Hasra. Is that a problem or is it not a problem? The answer is Machlekes. Reb Meir says, yes, that's a serious problem. Everybody needs Hasra, we do not differentiate. And if you do not give Hasra, sorry, there will never be din in nefashos in this case. So Reb Meir sova afal gav de chaveirohi, even though she is a knowledgeable woman, loy miktala, she will not be put to death. Why not? Because she never received hasra, and there's no differentiation. Hilkoch, therefore, loy srichin, it's totally unnecessary now. Le'ichnufi, to gather, to assemble. Le'ichnufi means to assemble. Su esrim v'shleisha. There's no necessity now to gather 23 dayanim. Elo shleisha. Rather, I just need to gather 3 dayanim. Lodun dine momonos. All I need to do is judge the monetary aspect of it, the ksuba, with regard to the ksuba. But with regard to the possibility of putting her to death, there is no possibility of putting her to death because Rav Meir requires Hasra in every case. However, says Rashi in conclusion, the Rabbonon, however, disagree. Rabbonon say, Sovri, in the plural, they hold, Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. What did Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda say? That's what the Gemara quoted, that you only ever need Hasra to be able to differentiate between Shoigeg and Mezid. If there is somebody whom we can be rest assured knows the halacha, so he's never got a claim of shoigeg, so he doesn't need hasra. And that's the last Rashi. Elo lahavchin shelo yochoy loima, so that he will not be able to say, sovur hayisi, I thought shemuta, that it was permitted. This, of course, is the obvious danger. Anybody who's ever brought to Bezdin and is considered guilty, maybe will turn around and say, I admit that I did it, but I didn't know it was wrong. Or I knew it was wrong, I had no idea that this was the sentence, etc., etc. So according to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, although that is a fair claim, but it's only a fair claim if there really is grounds, if there really is grounds to suggest that they didn't know. And they could say, I thought it was permitted, but not by a chover. So therefore, it turns out that the machloikas in our Mishnah between Rav Meir and the Chachomim, do you need 3 dayanim or do you need 23, is actually the long-standing machloikas, does a chover need hasra? We're talking about a chover, or Neshes Chavera, who did not get hasra. Rav Meir says, well, I'm sorry, that's highly problematic. If she did not get hasra, there is no way she'll be put to death. It's only, therefore, a monetary case, 3 dayanim necessary. Come along the Chachamim and say, no, we hold that Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda, that you only need Hasra in the case of an average person, not in the case of a Chava. Therefore, the fact that she did not get Hasra is irrelevant. It is definitely a potential Dinei Nefoshes case, and therefore you need 23.
According to the Chachamim, is Chava a title or is it an understanding about a person?
Yes, like I said before, there are qualifications. How exactly do you define a chava? By the way, a chava has many, many halachic ramifications, not only with regard to hasra, with regard to truma, with regard to dine tumah v'tahara. There are qualifications. How do we define somebody as a chava? Maybe the chava will turn around and say, you're right, I know kol ha'teira kula, this halacha I never knew.
So we, according to the Rabbanan, are we allowing the Edom to decide whether a person is a qualified chava or not?
Like I said, there are official qualifications. They don't have to decide anything.
No, but if the Eidim say this guy's a chaver, and the reality is he's not a chaver,
the Eidim don't need to say anything. All the Eidim need to say is, we did not give Hasra. We will now be Mavara whether he's a chaver or not. If he's a chaver, then the lack of Hasra is totally irrelevant, according to Rabbi Yossi bar Yehuda. Okay, we now, Rabbi Isai, come to the fifth explanation. The sugya goes on. Rav Ashi Amar, like we always point out, the Gemara does not say Omar Rav Ashi, it says Rav Ashi Amar. So that's always the clue that this sugya is still in the middle. Rav Ashi Amar means not that he's beginning a new sugya, but he's continuing. Rav Ashi Amar, he disagrees and he suggests now a new case. Rav Ashi Amar, we're talking about Kegoin, the Asru Bei Malkus, V'loi Asru Bei Ketalo. So we're beginning to see a little bit of a theme over here. The last three Tirutzim have all been based on something to do with Hasra. We saw one Teretz that there was a Hasra of Misa, but not which Misa. Then there was another Teretz, there was no Hasra at all because she was a Chavera. And now we're saying there was no Hasra on Misa, but there was for Malkus. So in order to understand this Gemara, we need to understand now a very, very important halacha. We know, essentially, what's the general rule and what's the exception to the rule. The general rule is whenever somebody transgresses one of the loy sases, it says in the Torah the word loy, the general rule, of course, with several exceptions, is that the person gets malchus. That's always the default punishment, unless stated otherwise. So if a person says, it says in the Torah, loy soichal kol nevela, you're not allowed to eat nevela. Or bosa b'cholav, loy sevashal gedi b'chalev imoy. So what's the halacha if somebody did eat bosa b'cholav? It gets malchus. If somebody did eat nevela, he gets malchus. That's the general rule. Obviously, we have lots and lots of exceptions, and those are cases where it also says in the Torah on Shabbos, loy sase kol malacha, don't do a malacha. It also uses the magic word loy, and yet we all know that if a person was mechal on Shabbos, he will get skila. So here comes now the big question. When we say that a person gets skila, does that mean that chilul Shabbos is not punishable by malchus at all? Rather, it has been replaced by skila? Or does it mean it's been upgraded to skila? What's the difference between whether it's been replaced or upgraded? The difference will be what happens if, based on a technicality, he will not be able to get skila. Will he nonetheless get malchus instead?
Don't they discuss this in Gemara Ksuvos? Whether a person...
Slowly. That's the shaila now. So if the Edim go up to somebody and they say, listen, you're about to be mechal on Shabbos, you should know, if you're Mechal Shabbos, you're going to get Malkus. They didn't say anything about Misa. So we all understand, and we all agree, that if they didn't say anything about Misa, obviously this person can't get Misa. It's true we had a discussion on the previous Omer where I did say Misa, I just didn't say which Misa. That's a different discussion. But if I didn't make any mention of Misa at all, obviously the person cannot be stoned. So here comes the big question. Will they at least get Malkus? So this is based on our Shaila. If you hold that Skila is a replacement for Malkus, and the Torah took Malkus out of Chilul Shabbos or Znus and replaced it with something else, with Skila or Chenek, whatever it may be, then even in the event that based on technicality, they will not get the death sentence, but it will not mean that they get Malkus instead, because it was replaced. Malkus has been taken out of the equation. Whereas if you hold, no, it's an upgraded punishment. It's essentially a lav which carries Malkus, but if all the conditions are met, it's upgraded to Skila. And if the conditions are not met, and on a technical issue, it cannot be upgraded to Skila, then it will remain with Malkus. So the Gemara is assuming that that is the case. In other words, It's not a replacement, it's an upgrade. So, halacha lemaisa, our Gemara is assuming, although it is a discussion, but our Gemara is assuming that if somebody was warned, if you're mechalal Shabbos, you're going to get malchus. So he will not get skila, obviously. Will he get malchus? The answer is yes, he will. So now the same two will be true in our case as well, in the case of znus. Essentially, as we've mentioned, znus is an issue of dinei nefoshes. She has to get killed. So what happens if the Eidim gave her hasra, and what do they say to her? If you now commit znus, you will get malchus. She's brought to Beis Din, the Eidim are cross-examined, and she is declared guilty. Which punishment will she get? Well, obviously not Misa. She obviously can't be put to death because there was never a hasra for Misa. So what will she get? She will get malchus. So now comes the big shaila. How many dayonim do you need to adjudicate a case of malchus? We've been busy discussing for the last 2 weeks the fact that you need 3 for financial cases, 23 for dinei nefoshes. And what about malchus? Malchus is somewhere in between. Says the Gemara, that's our sugya. Going to asrube malchus on the top line, veloi asrube katola. They did not give a hasra for katola. Katola means misa. In which case, obviously, she cannot be put to death. Rather, she's going to get malchus. Well, here comes the big question. How many dayanim do you need for malchus? And the answer is the komiflegi. This is the machlokes. So in Ramea and the Chachamim is really the long-standing machlokes beplugta de Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbonon. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbonon de Tanan. We have a Mishnah, it says, Makois Bishleisha. The first opinion says this is actually the opening Mishnah in Sanhedrin, but we missed out that part. Bez Hashem will come back to it presently. The first opinion says that Makois is always a case which needs to be adjudicated only by 3. That's the Rabbonim. However, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, it was said, no, Be'esrim v'shloisha, they actually need 23. So if that's the case, why Rabbi Shmuel should require 23 dayanim for the case of Makkos, Rashi says, you'll see later on in the Gemara. But the bottom line is, that's what's going on in our mission. Again, we're talking about a very limited scenario, not a general scenario. A specific scenario in which this woman was convicted, found guilty of committing znus. Why is she therefore not getting Misa? The answer is because there was no Hasra on Misa. The only thing we're going to give her is Malchus. And we have a Machlokes Tanoim. How many Dayanim do you need for Malchus? That's a Machlokes between Rabbanon and Rabbi Shmuel. And essentially it's a Machlokes between Ramea and Rabbi Yossi, Ramea and the Rabbanon.
Rebbe, why do we have to make the case so complicated as saying that Misa is an upgrade from Malchus? Why can't we say the witness has made a mistake? Instead of telling her they would be killed, they just said...
We did say that is the case. All I said upgrade was just to explain why they should nonetheless get Malchus. You're right, that is the case. The Aiden made a mistake.
Okay.
What I'm explaining is, if they made a mistake, why should I give a Malchus either? They got it wrong. The answer is no, because we're viewing Misa as an upgrade from Malchus. Therefore, in the event that the Eidim gave her a hasra for Malchus, it's not a total mistake. They got it half right. Because essentially she's Chayev Malchus, which gets upgraded to Misa if there's a hasra for Misa. Look at the top Rashi. Da Osrube Malchus, they gave a hasra for Malchus, but Veloy Osrube Katala. They did not warn her for Misa. Daho vadai loy miktala. Obviously, she cannot be put to death because there's no hasra for that. Elo loike. Rather, what will happen to her? She'll get malchus. Why will she get malchus? De ein lochom misas bezdin. There is no case of Mises Bezdin, Shaloi Nemar Bo Lav, that doesn't have a Lav. Every Mises Bezdin is a Lav. By the way, there is no Malkus for being over an Asay, only for being over a Lav. If somebody did not put on Tfilin, he does not get Malkus, 39 Malkus. If somebody ate Nevela, he gets Malkus. Therefore, every Mises Bezdin always is introduced with the words lo. It's always a lav. If that's the case, says Rashi, v'kosova, we hold lav shenitan lazhoras misas bezdin, a lav which essentially is subject to a misas bezdin, says Rashi, loikin olov will get malchus instead. He asrube malchus v'loikatola. In the event that they gave mistakenly Hasra for Malkus and not for Misa. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru Be'esrim Meshloisha, says Rashi, you have to remain patient. Tama Mefarish Lekamon.
And what would happen if they wander for a Knas instead of Malkus?
If what, sorry?
What if they wander about a Knas instead of Malkus? What if they said to her, you know, if you do this, you're going to owe, you know, 300 zuz or whatever?
That's nothing. That's a mistake. Because not true.
So you're saying inherently, the foundation of every lav inherently is Malkus.
Right. That's what I'm calling an upgrade, right? It's not a replacement, it's an upgrade. Essentially, you're chayav Malkus, which, if the necessary conditions are met, will be upgraded to Misa. In the event that it will not get upgraded, based on a technical error because they forgot to give Hasra for Misa, okay, but they gave for Malkus, that's not incorrect. It's not full, but it's not incorrect. So it turns out, Rabbi Isai, and we have not finished the sugya yet at all, we so far have five mahalchim in the Mishnah. But really, we can split them up into two. The first two and the last three. The first two, Laaz and Kovoid, were more general. Whereas the last three are specific. We're designing specific scenarios. Yes, everybody holds of Laz, everybody holds of Kovoid. That's not the issue. We're talking about a very particular scenario in which there can be a discussion whether you need 3 or 23. Either that Hasra was given for Misa, but not which Misa, or no Hasra was given because she was a Chaveira, or Hasra was given for Malkus and not for Misa. We now, Rabbi Isai, move to the sixth teretz. We ain't done yet. Ravina Omar. Now, in order to understand Ravina, we need to lay down one or two ground rules. We all know that min ha-Torah, we need two aidim. Nobody ever got put to death by one aid. Open parenthesis. There is a concept of aid echod nemon beisurin. Anybody who ever ate in somebody's house, how did you eat the food? Maybe it's non-kosher. The answer is because the balas habayis said it's okay. But she's only at an aid echod. In fact, not only is she an aid echod, she's not a man, she's a woman. That's okay with regard to the halachas of issa v'heta. When you buy your tefillin, or your mezuzahs, and the sefer said everything is okay, you rely on one person. Close parenthesis. But when we're talking about dinei nefashos, obviously we need two aidim. And if you only have one aid, it's a waste of time. Not only is it a waste of time, if one aid would come to Bezdin and testify that somebody was mechalel Shabbos, he was over an issa of Lashon Hara. Because there's nothing you could do with that aidus. Okay. Now, what happens if I have three Aidim, or four, or 100? So Lech'oira, the third aid, is totally redundant. Who needs him? If the first two are good, I don't need the third aid. So here comes now the big question. If three Aidim come to Bezdin, and they say, listen, we were standing in a group, and we testify that Reuben was Mechalel Shabbos. How do we view that third aid? Do we tell him, excuse me, we've already cross-examined Reuven, and Shimon, as far as we're concerned, that's good enough for us. So Levi can go home. Who needs him? Or perhaps not. Or we will cross-examine Levi as well. Now, there are several follow-up questions. If we're going to cross-examine Levi as well, and by the way, we do, the Beis Din cross-examines all three, nonetheless, we can still ask a question, how do we view the third aid? So now, for example, we all know there's a parasha of Edim Zomimin. Two Edim come to Beis Din and they say, Ploini was Mechalo Shabbos, he gets Misa. Two other Edim come to Beis Din and say, what are you talking about? You are with us on that day. What happens to the first two Edim? They themselves are put to death. Why? Because you were trying to have this poor fellow put to death. That's what happens to you. So what happens if you've got Reuven, Shimon, Velevi, three Edim who all testify that Ploini was Mechalel Shabbos. In walks Yehuda and Yisachar, and they say, excuse me, you, all three of you, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, you are with us in the North Pole on that Shabbos afternoon. So what happens then? Are all three of them put to death? Or do we say, no, maybe only two of them are put to death because we actually didn't need the third to have Ploini put to death? That's one important question. Another important question. What's the halacha when you have, for example, two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon? And it turns out that Reuven is a relative of the person that they are testifying against. We know a relative, a korov, cannot be considered a kosher aid. And by virtue of the fact that he is a korov, the whole group, which we call the kat edus is abolished. So here comes another question. What happens if you've got Reuven, Shimon, and Levi is a korov? So Levi is disqualified. That's absolutely true. No question about that. Does that now abolish the whole kat? Or do we say, listen, we can live without Levi. Even if we disqualify Levi, but we've still got Reuven and Shimon to rely on. That's the sugya over here. That's the sugya over here. Now, just to bring out a fascinating question, and we'll see how Gemara actually relates to this. If you're going to tell me, and we're going to soon see that we do in fact say this, that if one of the group is a relative, that then cancels the whole group. That's the famous principle, and it's called botla miktsasa, botla kula. If part of it is disqualified, that then cancels the whole group. So now there is a fascinating question. How do you ever have a wedding? How can anybody be married? You have to have two kosher edim who testify that they saw the chosim give a ring to the kala, etc., etc. One second. At every wedding, there are always family members there as well. Underneath the chuppah, the father, the mother, etc., etc., they're all standing there. No, they're a korev. So what are you going to say? Yeah, who needs them? I've got two edim anyway. But if you tell me that once I have a korev who's disqualified, that now disqualifies the entire group, well, then every wedding is invalid. Because invariably, you always have relatives there. So if they're disqualified, then that by definition should disqualify the two people who are Edom as well. What's going on? Famous question. We'll see. The Gemara actually deals with it. We'll have to hold it over here. But this is going to be our final mahalach from Moshe
Zeli. Ask an additional question with regard to the three. They have three witnesses. Numbers one and two are declared Edim Zomimin. What about the third?
Right, same halacha. How many will Edim Zomimin have to disprove? What happens if they say, listen, maybe I've got no idea, but Reuven and Shimon were with us in America?
Right.
All of these are good shaylos.
What happens if Reuven and Shimon give hasra for Malkus, but Levi claims and says, I gave a hasra for Misa, for Skila?
Right, very good. Okay, we're going to see all of these cases, Does Levi have to give Hasra at all? In some weddings, I'm not sure if you've ever heard this, in some weddings, the person who's Masada Kiddushin is particular to declare that the following two people are Edim and nobody else.
Yes.
Why do they declare that? In order to avoid the problem we've just discussed. Because they're concerned, if I don't say those additional words and nobody else, then every onlooker is an aid, including 95% of the people there are relatives. So therefore, and in all honesty, I only need one relative to spoil the whole show. So therefore they say, okay, listen, only Reuben and Shimon under the chuppah, they're the aidim, and nobody else. We'll have to see, is that necessary? It's not necessary, it's a chumrah, but amidst Hashem, we'll see this tomorrow.
And also, can we discuss with Chaim Shmulevitz's kasha regarding anybody who performs an avera is only because of insanity or shtus?
Ruchaim Shmulevitz asked, okay, we have 1 minute and 8 seconds left. Ruchaim Shmulevitz asked, the Gemara says that a person only ever transgresses an avera kshenichnas aboy ruach shtus, when a moment of madness, as it were, entered his head. So the big question is, if that's the case, then nobody should ever be held accountable for being over an avera. He became a shaita. A shaita is potter mikol ha-mitzvos. Ruchaim Shmulevitz says, if somebody goes to the edge of a cliff and then all of a sudden a hurricane comes and blows him off, he's not held accountable for falling off the cliff. He's held accountable for standing at the edge of the cliff. Who asked you to stand there? If you stand in a mokum of danger, then the wind can knock you off. He says, a person gets punished for an avera for putting himself in danger. The moment of the Avera could well be a Ruach Shtus, but you put yourself in danger, and that's how we daven every day. Shaloi Elidei Nisayin, we must certainly not put ourselves in a situation on this day.
So the Hasra for the woman here is that she put herself in a position of Chashash.
Right.